Coach, you've piqued my interest here. You were talking before the show about TDM. Now, you know I'm all about acronyms, True Diversification Model. I actually like the way this conversation is going because you meet with people on a daily basis, Coach. I know you do, just working through struggles, things through in retirement planning. And diversification really is something that people struggle with, whether not knowing what it is or maybe thinking that they are, but actually not being. Isn't that right? So when it comes to this True Diversification Model, how could this help folks out who are in that situation?
Well, yeah, it's hard to figure out what true diversification really is. I mean, if somebody has four or five different mutual funds, they think they're diversified, yet
right.
When we look at the mutual funds, we do a forensic analysis of them, looking inside, peeling the cover off, the top 10 holdings are almost the same many times. And so
wow.
You know, a lot of people have Apple in all their mutual funds, right?
Sure.
Which is great when Apple's going up.
Oh, sure.
What happens when Apple goes down?
Exactly.
You know, and when I look at Halloween, my brothers and I would go out trick-or-treating. Abigail, I know you trick-or-treated, right?
I love it, yeah.
And then you come home and you pour all the candy out, and we would go out three or four times.
We'd would
go
you
back
really?
Home, pour out, go back, collect again. But we'd group all our candy bars together. I would. You know, we'd find the ones we like and put them in a big pile and then list them out. Sometimes there were bigger candy bars than others, like there was the $100,000 bar. There'd be the little fun size, the bite size, and a real size.
Yep, there you go, yeah.
Every now and then, you would go to a house that they give you the real candy bars.
So oh, I know.
So you'd go back again. And they'd catch you sometimes. But so that basically, even though they were different size, $100,000 bars, they were all the same candy bar.
Okay.
So if we would look at stocks that way, you have a bunch of different mutual funds, but many of them have the same stocks inside them. Therefore, even though you have different mutual funds that look like they're different, they're really not. Sort of like the $100,000 bars all being the same candy bars, even though they were different sizes.
Okay. So if I think of a recent time where diversification really hit people, I go back to that 2007, 2008. So do you think this was an issue back then as well, where people just weren't truly diversified? Maybe they thought they were having a lot of mutual funds, in their portfolio, but not actually being diversified?
Well, I saw this especially in 1997, 1998, 99, when the internet boom was starting to kick off.
Ah, yes. Okay.
People were trading in the utility stocks and mutual funds for internet ones.
Okay. Yeah.
And a lot of people made immediate money that way inside their portfolio. But
right.
That's a paper gain, right?
Right.
And then we had the year 2000, the .com crash,
mm-hmm.
and boom, they lost a lot of that money.
Yep.
And not only did they lose money, but they didn't have proper diversification anymore because they'd already cashed in their utility funds and stuff like
that.
Or dividend-producing
wow.
stocks. You know, there's nothing exciting about dividend stocks when you could put money in an internet.com company that nobody heard about and watch it double in a day.
Sure, but exciting isn't always the best for retirement planning.
Now, we spend a lot of time making fun of the internet stocks, right?
Sure, yeah.
And the people that lost a lot of money. But if you had put money in Amazon.com back when it started,
yeah.
one share would be worth $12,000 nowadays.
Incredible.
Just one share.
Absolutely.
And
incredible.
So it hit $1,000 a share just the other day.
It did.
Crazy. And that's after it split three times. So there's for every bad thing, there's a good thing, I guess, or maybe sometimes. But Amazon is a poster child for where you shouldn't listen to the analysts, because the analysts have been saying for years that you shouldn't invest in Amazon because they weren't making any money.
Yep.
Yet at the same time, Coach Pete buys all his stuff for his company on Amazon.com.
Ah,
you buy
great.
A lot of your stuff.
I absolutely do.
And do you use it too, Abigail?
I love Amazon.
So
love
there
it.
You go. There might be a reason why they're doing well.
Amazon Prime, right? A lot of people use that. It's free shipping in 2 days.
You can order food through Amazon
See,
Prime.
Now they got next day
Crazy.
Or same day. So they keep going, like the Energizer Bunny. They're coming up with new ideas all the time.
They are.
And I never would have thought that would have happened, and you never would have, but
never,
they've done a great job of doing it. When it first started, it was some book company no one ever heard of. Why would you go to some place called Amazon
That's
to
right.
buy books?
That's right. Very true.
Because we had Books A Million and, what is the Barnes & Noble, all
uh-huh.
these other sites.
Well,
that's where you would go first.
Well, and back in the day, too, this two-day, one-day shipping was a dream. I mean, it would take 7-10 days to get something.
Originally, the reason why I liked Amazon, and you can't do that anymore, was you didn't have to pay sales tax.
Yep, there you go.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
A little discount on that. But
wow.
you know, that's changed a long time ago, but
it
that
did.
Got people started. The internet's been a wild place, and it's fun to watch a success story.
It is.
But now, don't run out and buy Amazon today, because it's way overpriced, but it could be underpriced. But this is an investment advice. So you basically need to sit down first and go through a total plan, figure out money you can afford to lose. And that's gambling money now when you got a stock that's that high in price. And I know it could still double from here, but it also could go way down.
Exactly.
It could be one-tenth of the value if somebody else comes out with a new system better than Amazon.
Mm, yeah.
You know, the horse and buggy was the best thing ever until Mr. Ford came out with the Model T.
Isn't that true?
I'm sure there's some other cars before then, too, but Mr. Ford gets all the attention, doesn't he?
No, it's very true. You know, something even more recent, you would look at light bulbs. We went from those standard to the CFLs, which maybe lasted 5 years, and now LED is the trend. So, yeah, things change.
Sometimes it's a middleman. You know, when Dean Smith left, we had a coach come in, two coaches, actually.
Yeah.
And Bill Guthridge and then Matt Doherty,
mm-hmm.
the buffer zones. and then Roy Williams came in.
That's right.
So when a legend leaves, a lot of times it takes a couple of other people in between the person who's really going to succeed. Same with companies and same with products.
There you go.
And so I hated the squiggly white light bulb, if that's what you're talking about. I hated that light bulb. Couldn't take it out without breaking it, and then you had to call the hazard control.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
So I never put any of those in my house.
Oh, no. Well, and they took like 2 or 3 seconds to turn on when they first came out.
Matter of fact, when they announced they were not going to sell the 100-watt regular light bulb anymore, I went out and bought a whole shopping cart full
of them.
Really? I still have some in my garage because I was not going to use those squiggly light bulbs.
Well, because they actually functioned. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And again, the government wasn't going to tell me what to do. I was going to show them. All right. So we need to look at, when we're talking about true diversification models, we need to look at a lot of things, but we need to consider something called the rule of 100 first.
Okay.
All right. And that's how much risk you can afford to take. Now, Abigail, have you ever heard of the rule of 100?
Yes.
Yeah. It's basically you take 100, you subtract your age, and the number you get is the maximum amount you should have at risk.
There you go.
So if I'm a 51-year-old, it's going to be easy. So I'm 51.
Sure.
51 minus 100 is 49. So I could have 49% of my money at risk.
Okay.
Now, should I just throw it in any stock, like a company named Dry Ships, who's had so many reverse splits? So Dry Ships, if no one's familiar with it, I pick on it a lot. I do a market minute here locally.
Mm-hmm.
And they are a container ship company, which moves dry ingredients all over the world on container ships.
There you go.
But it sounds they're a story stock. It sounds good. So people keep putting money into it. But then they keep doing something called a reverse split. And the reverse split says, and I'm just going to use it as a generic example, for every 100 shares you have, I'm going to take those from you and give you one share.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that one share is supposedly going to be worth what 100 used to be.
Sure.
But what happens then is they reduce the float. It's called the reduce the outstanding shares by doing that. So if you take everyone who has 100 shares and now you give them one, there's a lot less shares out there.
Right.
Okay. But then immediately after doing that, they issue more shares.
Oh, no. Wow.
So just recently, they did a reverse split on May 11th, 2017. And the share count since then has increased by 43%. So they did the reverse split. Took a lot of shares away, and now the company issues more shares.
Wow.
Which they make more money on because they make a profit when they sell them back out to the public.
There you go.
All right. And so even with that, they hit an all-time low the other day of $2.80.
Wow.
Versus their all-time high of $42 million a share.
$42 million
oh
a share.
Gosh.
Because they've done so many reverse splits. You never would have had $42 million, right?
Oh, but no.
Because they've done so many reverse splits.
That's what it would have been. Oh, that's incredible. That's ridiculous.
So the stock keeps going down. It's diluted, and then it's undiluted. It's diluted, undiluted. Basically, the only person making money is the company.
Terrible.
We don't want to have our money in something like that.
No.
So
when
we're
absolutely.
Taking risk, that is extreme risk, and that's the only person making money. We should form a company like that and just keep issuing shares and then taking them back and issuing them again. It's like the old hidden coin trick. Kind of thing.
Exactly. All right. Yeah.
So we also need, if we're doing true diversification models, is we need to do red, yellow, and green money portfolios. So we need to see where our money is, and we need to have that diagrammed out. Most people don't know where their money is right now.
Yeah.
They don't know how much risk they're taking, and they've never had it categorized in red, green, or yellow. Of course, red is risky money, money you could lose, but you could hopefully make more. A lot of people are taking a lot of risk and have no chance of making more. Sort of like dry ships, right?
Right.
Taking a lot of risk and they're losing money.
Right, yeah.
Just like we said.
Which, I mean, what's the point in even doing that? If you're going to take some risk, you might as well be getting big returns
but
on it.
But Coach has had an all-time high of $42 million a share. Well, that's never been like that. It's just that they've done so many reverse splits. And we're talking about gigantic ones. You know, for every 100, you get one share. For every 1,000, you get one share. Those kind of things. Then we have yellow money. That's money that is there for us now, but it's not going to earn that much, but we need to have it for emergencies. And then green money, that's going to be our income for the rest of our life. That's money that we need to have it grow, and we need to have it there for the rest of our life. That's green money.
Reliable.
And most people don't have enough green money when we do a true diversification model. And we also run into something, we're going to talk more about this later on the show, about people becoming Google poor and financial jugglers.
Really? Okay.
Google poor is when you go to Google and you research things to the point where you think you know more than your planner does. And you don't do anything, you procrastinate, and then or you start juggling financial products, you start getting things and then getting rid of things, that kind of thing. You're juggling products, and you're never going to do as good as someone who has a real plan.
You'll never get traction.
You may get lucky and hit an Amazon.
Oh, sure.
Chances are you'll end up in a dry ship.
There you go.
Okay. All right. So here's what I want to do for the next 15 people who call. We're going to review your tax returns. We'll help you uncover your long-term tax issues. We'll also do a retirement income goal worksheet with you. Money needed to cover the costs of enjoying your lifestyle. And then we're going to help you analyze your current investments to establish the real cost and fees and the calculated risk exposure level. Based on what you're taking risk-wise now, how much could you lose if something goes wrong in the future?
Mm-hmm.
We're also going to do that red, yellow, and green money map with you, go through a total money map, and give you a report that's hot off the press called The Great Wall Street Retirement Scam, Income Planning Techniques and Strategies Often Underutilized, Don Quixote Chased Windmills, You Don't Have To. That's by me and Rick Buter. That came out just recently. So very, very important that people get educated, get their right plan. And we're also going to go through the 7-point to retirement and beyond system for you, which all together, that's probably a $1,999 value. No cost, no obligation. You also get a selection of books of mine that I've written when you come in.
The number to reach John Kelly of Kelly Financial Services is 800-477-1135. Again, that's 800-477-1135. All right, folks, stay tuned as we discuss many more topics on how to set yourself up for success in retirement when we come back.